All right, Zachary, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm ready to finish out this series. I've enjoyed it. I hope everyone listening has as well.
Yeah, me too. I've really enjoyed this series. I know that we've been talking, and I feel like I've been talking about, just in my own ministry, more about personal faith and you and God. And so it's kind of been nice to kind of get out of ourselves a little bit and to think about the community, because like we've been talking about, you cannot separate your personal faith with the community. And speaking of that, why don't we talk about, just to recap, what we've been talking about over the last three episodes, and then we've got our last one today.
Yeah, for sure. So episode one, we talked about and addressed the question, can church be authentic? And we had a good discussion. You could go back and listen to that. But sometimes what happens in the church is we try to make it so performative and we try to make it so perfect. And we've had the mentality sometimes that if something goes wrong in our worship service, then it's such a big deal. Like, we feel so embarrassed. But that's not the purpose of the church. That's not the purpose of worship services. And the scripture we used to talk about that was the main one, was Acts 2, 42 through 47. And we said, that's what authentic church looks like. They met together day by day, not because they were instructed to, but because they wanted to be there. They ate together. They did communion together. They prayed. They studied the apostles' teachings together. That was authentic church. And there's some of the barriers we talked about were the fear of judgment. Like, we don't want to be judged, or the fear of there's church hurt that people have had sometimes, and it prevents them from feeling like they could be their real self in church. So if I remember right, we kind of challenged people to create an authentic community in their church, wherever that is, and try to be real with other participants in the congregation, and just try to live out your true, try to be your true self in your church community, because the church is your family and you're comfortable in your family. Like, you act your real self in your family. And what if you were able to act your real self in the church? So that was episode number one. Tyler, you want to add anything to that or just move on to episode two?
No, I think that was great. And I like how you mentioned that it's an environment that you have to create. It's one thing to say, oh, come to worship, come be a part of our church, and be authentic. Don't try to perform. Don't try to hide. You don't have to do that here. But at the same time, we can be guilty of creating those environments to where maybe we don't say it out loud, but we kind of act in a way that's kind of the expectation, that you do have to perform, you do have to be inauthentic. So I appreciate that point about creating that kind of culture. And then the next episode, we talked about worship not just being only music. And yeah, I think when we talk about worship, we do kind of tend towards the Sunday morning acts of worship. And that certainly is a part of it. And that's a part of it that we see throughout the scriptures. But worship can be this everyday thing. In fact, I would say it should be an everyday thing, because we become like we worship. We become like the thing we worship. And so if we worship idols, if we worship sports, if that's the thing we glorify and behold and give our attention and devotion to, then we're going to end up becoming like that thing that we worship. So if we want to become like God, if we want to become like Christ, then worshiping Him should be a part of our everyday routines. And worship can come in the form of gratitude, of prayer. We can worship through different situations in our lives. And I mentioned this in that episode, but I've been thinking about it even more. is that the Psalms, I think, are such a great place to go when it comes to that. Some of the Psalms that we have, if they were read in a church service, we would probably feel a little uncomfortable. Like if Psalm 22 or Psalm 13 or Psalm 40 was read in a service, we would think, whoa, like, hey, let's be a little more positive here. But it always comes around to this aspect of, I know, God, that you've got this. I know that you are holy. And there is a way that we can not minimize the holiness and the sovereignty of God, and still say, God, I don't know what's going on here. We have to be able to hold those two in tension. So I really like that episode. And then the third episode, we talked about why the church still matters.
Absolutely, because we've all heard the statement, I love Jesus, but not the church, or I can have Jesus, I could be a Christian without going to church. And we said, you know, that's just a contradiction. Like, it can't happen. You have to throw out so much of New Testament text in order to get that theology. So we highlighted Ephesians 5, where it says Christ died for the church, gave his life up for her. We talked about Hebrews 10, the encouragement to meet together and to not give up, to not be in the habit of not assembling together. Church was not optional in the New Testament. It wasn't, if you want to go, but now you could just stay at home, be by yourself, and be a Christian, and have a strong relationship with Christ. Like, that, those two did not go together. But we also address that sometimes the reason that we hold back from fully involving ourselves in the church is for legitimate reasons. Like, sometimes people have been so hurt by the church that it doesn't allow others, it guards, people are guarded. They don't feel comfortable giving themselves to the church, or sometimes that church might just feel irrelevant, or the fact that it's full of hypocrites. Like, those things happen all the time, and those are legitimate objections and legitimate reasons that people don't want to be involved with the church. But they can't, those can't be the case all the time. Like, they have to, we have to be able to work through those things, because the church is needed. It provides things that nothing else can. It provides accountability, the mission. It provides a community. It provides all of those things. And then that leads us to today's episode, this last episode in this series. And the title is Be the Church. Don't just go to it. So Tyler, when you hear that title, just what are your thoughts when you hear that title, to be the church, don't just go to it?
Yeah, I think we have to just go straight to an honest confession, I guess, and just say our culture and our American culture is literally built around this idea of you are a consumer. You can go back, and this really exploded after World War II. This really exploded when people started moving to the suburbs and bought cars, bought refrigerators. When all of that during the mid-20th century was going on, you see all of these commercials that were really well done, by the way. And you saw them, like, obviously trying to sell you something, and that hasn't stopped. And it didn't start there, but it hasn't stopped since then. And even now, you know, marketing is so powerful. There's a Chevy truck commercial, and I've seen that episode, and I've told my wife, I want a Chevy truck now, you know, because it's like, these are, you know, these are the way Chevy truck people behave. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of do want to be one of those people. And so marketing does work. You know, we probably have said, oh, marketing doesn't work on me. You know, you can't sell me anything. I'm like, so why do you have that new iPhone? Why do you have this? And it's probably because marketing works. Consumerism is very, very popular, and it's prevalent in our culture. And I would say it's so prevalent that we don't even realize it. We don't even see it. And it infiltrates all of our lives. And so, unfortunately, I say all that to say this can easily show up in the way we view church as well. So we view the church primarily through the lens of what can I get out of this? And we've talked about that statement a little bit in our previous episodes. So, for example, in the songs we sing, do I like them? Are they maybe newer songs that I like? Or are they maybe older songs that I like? The sermon, did it convict me? Did it motivate me? Did it speak to my needs? Were the points applicable and practical? And then the community, are there people like me? If you're if you have young kids, well, okay, are there other people with young kids that I can be friends with, that I can build a community around? So there's just these subtle little expectations of feed me, inspire me, give me something I can use this week in my everyday life. And I'll be honest, you know, I don't think those desires are wrong necessarily, but they are really dangerous when that becomes the central focus of why we're a part of the church and why we attend worship, because that's not at all the story that Scripture presents.
No, absolutely. That's such a good point. And you talk about the marketing, and that's especially true. I don't feel like that was the case within churches 10 years ago, but really post-COVID, that seems to really be the case. And then, you know, to feel the need of your presence online or on social media, and all of a sudden now, you know, shopping for churches and for a church that fits my needs and my desires, like that has become a huge thing in our culture. And I like what you say is that, you know, sometimes the lesson is going to convict you. Sometimes the songs are going to inspire you because they were the songs that you just really love to sing, whatever. But other times it's not. Like sometimes the sermon, while it could be great, it's just not something you're struggling with, or not something that you gain that much that you didn't already know. But that doesn't, again, that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to really, it's a community. And when we start to see the church as just me, myself, and I, then we're just really missing out on what the church was meant to be. We look around and we see brothers and sisters in our congregation, and we see so many different stories, and we see so many different skills and gifts and personalities, and so many hurts and pains and issues that they're going through. Like, that's our church, that's our family, and we should concern ourselves more with those people and what they need, their desires. You could throw in Philippians chapter 2. Not looking just to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And that's really a great way to look at the church and worship service. You're not just looking to yourself. How can I bless? How can I encourage someone else that is out there? So, Tyler, what about some scriptures that come to mind when you think about being the church and not just going to it?
So this verse wasn't one that we had in our notes, but as I was thinking about this episode and kind of preparing for it, my mind went to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" And then in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." To me, that is one of the most practical verses when it comes to what would it actually look like to be the church. Jesus says, you all have a light. Like you all have this light that is burning. The question is, have you put it under a basket? Are you shining that light? Are others seeing your good works, not so that we can get the glory, but so that the Father can get the glory? And I think when he says you, actually, I know when he says you, he's not talking to you only as an individual. And that's something that really the New Testament does a lot. When it says you, we read this is only about me and myself only. But you got to remember, Jesus is talking to a crowd. Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he's saying, this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. This is what it looks like when God and Jesus are in charge of your life and you're not anymore. This is what the community could look like. And it's a city on a hill. It's the lights of the world. And so it's hard to read. It would be hard to read that passage and think, okay, so the only purpose of church is to open the doors on Sunday and have a worship service. That's great. We've talked about the importance of that. But it's also supposed to be a city on a hill. It's supposed to be the lights of the world. The church should be doing good. Because Jesus is about doing good, and our goal as the church should be to partner with Jesus, who is the head of the body, and say, okay, what can we do together? How can we impact the world for good?
Yeah, I love that you brought up that passage, one of my favorite passages. That's such a good point. Are we really the lights, or like you said, like the text says, have we put a basket over us? Have we dimmed ourselves? Have we become? And I think when we do that, what's happening is we've become only focused on ourselves. And we only become focused on the members of our church, and we lose sight and lose focus of the community and the lost people around us. The church should not be like a country club. Hey, you're in. Congrats. Like, you got to figure out the secret code for other people to get in. Like, that's not the way the church should be. The church should be inviting and trying to grow and get bigger and to spread the message of Christ around the world. And so many times, and it's a temptation for every church to only look inside. Like, these are the things we need. These are the things we're struggling with. And that's great. There's a need for that. We have to address those things. We have to spend time in discipleship within our own congregations, but we can't lose out on the focus of those around us. There has to be a healthy balance between discipleship and evangelism. And I think the passage there in Matthew chapter 5 speaks to that. When we take that basket off, other people will see us. They'll see the love of Christ in us, and will exemplify how important the church is, because it's so much more, like you said, than just opening the doors on a Sunday morning. Another passage that comes to mind, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Let me read that real quick. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So he says the purpose here, it's unity, it's maturity. But that very last phrase, I think, is the key. And sometimes we miss this. It says, as each part does its work. Like, each person's got to play a role in this. That's how we get unity. That's how we get maturity, is when each person realizes, okay, I need to be a part of building this church up. I need to be a part of unity. I need to be a part of growing in maturity. And this passage here from Paul is, it's really a practical warning to us of what can happen when we don't pursue unity, when we don't pursue maturity, when we're fine with just staying where we are. He challenges us to work and to look forward, look toward unity. And he also gives us an important truth in verse 15. He says to speak the truth in love, to speak the truth in love. There's perhaps a misconception out there that in order to grow the church, you know, you have to be flashy. You have to be very loose with the scriptures. But Paul gives us a warning. Now, you speak the truth, but there's a way to speak the truth that is in love. There's a way to speak the truth that doesn't condemn. There's a way to speak the truth without really bringing other people down along with it, or to really hurting others and making ourselves look good. There's a right way to do that. There's a wrong way to do that. And that's, I think that's such a great passage as it relates to our topic today.
Yeah, that is really good. And going back to really the first thing that you mentioned, that the work of ministry belongs to all believers. He mentions there at the beginning of the passage about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, that they should equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's for every member of the body. And we think about this in terms of, okay, maybe how are you volunteering for your church? What are your gifts and how are you using them when it comes to how the church operates? And that's really good. But our ministry could be our careers. Our ministry should be our families, or the way we have something that we like to do. Maybe on our way home from work, we see those who are in need as we travel home, and we have little gift bags that we send out maybe once a week, stuff like that. You know, I think that we've got to start talking about our work as really important to the work of the church, because sometimes we separate our lives and we say, well, this is my work life and I've got my people over here. And then sometimes we say, well, I've got my church and this is my church family and they're kind of over here and they don't really mesh together. They don't really have anything to do with each other. And I think part of that is because we've almost preach this message of, well, that's secular and secular is bad and you're doing a secular work. And if you're in ministry, then you're doing God's work. Then that's the real quote unquote spiritual work. But man, think of all the opportunities I think about, just because I'm married to one, I've been impacted by a lot of them, all the good work that teachers do. Like, to me, they've ministered to me and they minister to other people because they care for them. They care for students. They care for other teachers. Think about nurses and doctors. They are helping the world become a much better place and they are caring for other people and they are certainly shining their light. And so I think we need to preach that more of, like, you should go, you should be good at your job, and you should be a light, because church work, if you will, isn't just limited to preachers and to teachers. It's for all of us, because we're all a part of the body. We're all a part of the church. And so we need to think about that idea, I think, a little more. And going back to kind of the theme of this episode, I think if you're only consuming, if you're only asking what can I get out of the church, then we're missing the role that we're supposed to be playing within the body of Christ.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. That's a great, great point. You mentioned briefly, but every person, every believer has a role. Every believer has spiritual gifts. And we can use this. It should go beyond a Sunday morning. You talk about teachers. You talk about so many different careers that you might have. But you can use those gifts to bring people to Christ, even in those settings. So what about some practical things that people can do to take a step towards being the church? Maybe there's some listening that have always been faithful attenders, but beyond that, maybe they just struggle. They don't know how they can fit in, how they can really be a part of the church, because it's something they've never really done. They've never really perhaps been given an opportunity. And I think sometimes there's even people out there who would really like to be a part of the church, but they just don't know how to go about it. So what do you say to those people if someone really wants to get more involved in the church, or perhaps their parents and they want their kids more involved and to serve as a family? How would you go about that?
Yeah, it makes me think about my freshman and sophomore year of high school when I was a part of a state championship winning team, and I did not play a single snap in both of those playoffs. Now, at the time, I was like, yay, we won, you know, we won state. It didn't really have much to do with me. And they certainly would have won without me. I wouldn't suggest otherwise. But I was still a part of the team, right? Still ran every sprint, played scout team quarterback, acted like very, you know, terribly, but I still acted like maybe this other quarterback that maybe we were facing. You know, I think sometimes if we're not the preacher, if we're not the song leader, if we're not the children's class teacher, then we wonder, well, if I'm not doing that quote-unquote big role, then my role isn't as effective and my role isn't as important. We need to realize that every single person, like God wouldn't put this in his scripture if this wasn't the case, that every member of the body has a role to play. Like as Paul says, you can't, one body part can't say to the other, you're less important or I have no use for you. There's so many things that we can be doing, and we can take a step in the right direction by just, first of all, opening our eyes and looking around to the needs around us. Again, I said it in the first episode, I'll say it again. If you come to worship and you come 10 minutes late and you leave right when the last amen is said and you don't look around at all, then yeah, you're not going to find your kid. Like, you're not going to really be a part of the community. And so we need to realize that things like service, encouragement, generosity, leadership, hospitality, things like that, it doesn't have to just stay in the building. In fact, it shouldn't just stay in the building. Do you have a couple that just moved in to your community? Have them over for dinner, or whatever that looks like. Maybe it's you and a couple others starting some sort of generosity initiative. And I'll say this, that not everything you do has to be this ministry with a title and like an official thing. It can just be, if you see a need, then take care of it, right? If you see a need, then look around and seek to fill that need. I think just a question to ask is, what has God placed in you that the church needs? What are the gifts that I've been given that are you maybe unique to me? And how does this church need my gifts?
No doubt. I just love that passage that you alluded to from Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. Because you're right. Sometimes we look at people as if they're the star quarterback or the starting running back or the receiver, you know, and we think, oh man, that's so cool. Those people, they seem to get all the praise. I wish I was one of those people. Well, they're only that good because their linemen are that good. Or they're only winning championships because their defense is good. Or perhaps they're only winning championships because they actually have a kicker that knows how to kick and does it well. Or they have a really good practice squad that makes them prepared and helps them get ready, or good coaches. And we're just trained. We see the people in the spotlight, but we neglect to see all those around them that do a ton of the work in order for them to do what they're doing. And Paul tells us, like, every person's role is equally important. Not one gift is greater than the other. Even though that's a temptation we have to look at others like, oh, they're more important than I because they do this and I do that. That's the wrong mentality. And he says, we're all equally important to the church. I like what you said. If you see a need, do it. Like, be that person that volunteers. If you've always wished, man, I wish my church had this ministry, or it would have been nice when I was going through this issue or this struggle, whatever it is, if someone from the church had reached out to me, would be that person. A lot of people have really good ideas that they would love to do. They just don't feel as if they're the person that can make that happen. And I think oftentimes we could be that person. We just got to get out of our comfort zone in order to try and fill those roles that we feel are missing within our local churches. A question to ask, and this is very challenging. It struck me as challenging. If everyone participated like you do, what would your church look like? Like, if everyone participated like you do, what would the church look like? Would it be filled with people who, like, work so hard for the church and who really serve the church? Or if everyone was like you, would nothing be accomplished? Like, would we be really good at sitting in the pews, but you wouldn't have anyone to lead? You wouldn't have anyone to teach? So find roles, find ways in which you could be involved. Maybe your thing's not speaking in front of people. That's okay. Not everyone has a gift to teach. That's fine. But find ways that you can serve. Maybe you're really good at writing, at giving encouragement. You could write cards to people who are in the hospital or those who are shut in. Maybe you're a really good cook and you could cook for people who have just gotten back from the hospital or who have just had a baby. They just don't have the time to cook. Like, there's ways to serve. We just have to be open and willing to getting out of our comfort zone and to look for those ways and not being afraid to start those ministries that we think we need, but we feel someone else should do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good. And, well, I think about, you mentioned cooking. I mean, that's something that you enjoy doing and you're really good at it. And so I think that that's just a great example. And, you know, when the New Testament talks about good works, sometimes I've read that and I thought, man, good works are just, that's just so vague. Like, what is a good work? And that's the point. That's the point that it's supposed to be, because there's so many things that fall into that category. We probably haven't named a third of all the things that you could do for your local church. And I will say this, sometimes, and I'm not suggesting, this is just a metaphor, I'm not suggesting that preachers are the star players. Sometimes your star players, they need encouragement too. And so think about your ministers, think about your elders, think about the people who are in the office every day, and just encourage them. Just maybe thank them for what they do. And I know that they would really appreciate that. So Zachary, how do you want to close this series out? I'm excited before we tease the next series that we got going on. But any final words, kind of about this series that we've been doing?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first, let me say one more thing regarding our last discussion of like how you could be involved. Sometimes actually just being involved is just showing up and just sitting in the pew. So let me give an example. This Sunday night, we're doing our LTC worship service. So all of our kids who participated there are going to participate in worship. And then after service, we're going to give out their awards and their plaques and tell everyone how they did in LTC. Like just showing up for something like that. Like that's all you have to do. Like you don't have to serve. Like just showing up, that's very important. Or if you have kids or youth group students that participate in school activities, just showing up. Like maybe that's something you could do. That means the world. It probably means more for the parents than it does for the students. And it's such an easy, great way to serve. So, yeah, as we wrap
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say that's really good. And again, to go back to the sports analogy, what do you want when you play a sport? You want your parents to be there. Like I didn't want mom and dad to, they didn't have to paint their face. They didn't have to bring any sort of gear. I hope they didn't paint their face. But you know, they didn't have to wear any special gear. They didn't have to bring a big sign that says, yeah, go number 10. But you just want them to be there, to be present. So yeah, that's a really good point. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe they could have brought a big head. You know,
yeah, I was about to say, I kind of put my foot in my mouth with that one. But, oh, man.
For sure. So we wrap up this series that we've titled The Church Next Door. You have to think about your own church because it does no good. I don't think it's not our place to critique other churches and what someone across town does. We should be focused on our church, how we could build up our church. We're not a global part of the other churches, but we're not a member of that church down the road. So we got to look at our own church and how can we be the church that Jesus Christ died for? How can we be the church that works together toward unity and toward maturity so that we grow into someone who looks more and more like Jesus each day? And how can we shine our light to those around us so that other people want to join us on that mission and spread the love of Christ throughout the world? How can you be a part of that? Does your mentality need to change from thinking, yeah, well, church isn't like worship isn't more than just the songs we sing, or our church is so fake. I feel the need to be more authentic. How can you make that happen? Each person can play a part in the church and should and is called to play a part in the church. So how can you do that? That's the only thing I would say, just a challenge for people.
Yeah, so as we wrap this up, let's tease what we're going to be doing next. We're kind of breaking this show up in seasons, and we're kind of going along with the seasons of the year. And seeing as though it's only April, we still got a little bit of spring left before our summer season. And so we are going to look at a book of the Bible. We're going to look at the book of Philippians, and we're going to do four episodes from the book of Philippians, which works out because there's four chapters in Philippians. But I'm really excited about the theme of Philippians. If you know, the theme is all about really, if I could sum it up in one sentence, joy despite circumstances. And you could probably throw in the word contentment in there as well, which those themes are very, very relevant. Very relevant in our culture today. And as Christians, as with everything in the Word of God, but I'm really excited about Philippians. I know it's one of your favorite books, Zachary. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. The challenge is going to be keeping these episodes short and not, you know, 3 or 4 hours per chapter.
Yeah, that is true. So I will see you then, and thank you guys for listening.